don't know there is an adjective for that, is immunocompromised. So I'll be delighted to speak with you after service. I'll do anything but hug you or shake your hand. My wife continues to tell me, says, baby, people are confused. You don't look sick. I'm like, I don't know how to help you, baby. Maybe as soon as I go bald, everybody will understand. She says, you need a cane. So sorry I don't look sick, but I am a little bit. Thank you for that. I hate the thought of me being rude breaks my heart, but this was the deal I made with the docs to be here today and to be here while I'm this direction. So that's okay. Is it okay with you that I'm in church, but I can't hug your neck or shake your hand or whatever? I can still receive money and pie. I said that backwards. I can still receive pie and money. And cookies and all. Somebody asked me, what kind of cookie do I like? I went the next one. Amen. So anyway, some of you are going, huh? And all our guests here, I'm sorry, I'm kind of a doofus. And if you want serious people, I can give you some names. But I'm kind of a goofball. So anyway, Matthew chapter 11, we're going to begin back there. So part of what's going on is I will be drinking a little water. I know that bugs some of you. But anyway, Matthew chapter 11, read it with me again, if you would. Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's EQ'd okay. Give me just a hair more. It's me. It's not the sound system. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. If you're counting there's several verbs, there's several entreaties, and there's that great word, rest. You'll find rest in 28, rest in 29. And then you find the corollaries, easy and light. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Truth of the matter is we don't use some of these words. We're a long way off a farm, but we understand the other. We like easy. Staples has made a brand decision about easy. We understand light. We like light and easy versus hard and heavy any day of the week. And we understand burden. Some of you walked in here just about as burdened as you can be, and we want to do our best to help you. So I want to help us this morning from the Word of God. I want to talk to you about finding rest in a stressful world. Finding rest in a stressful world. And if you want to follow along on your app there, that's HardinValleyChurch.com/app. You can download the sermon notes. You can follow along. It's a free app there right at our website. Pray with me one more time. Father, front to back, left to right. I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray you'd help me as I preach. May I preach your word with power and authority. May I speak clearly. May I enunciate well. And I pray in particular that what I say would be clear. I pray that what I say would not only make sense, but it'd be true to the text. And I pray you'd help us. Help us to hear, understand, and obey. Holy Spirit of God, use me, I pray, fill me, I ask. May your word go out with power. I pray you'd help us. Thank you for the privilege to preach your word today, for all of these who've given up time on a Sunday, for all our guests that are here, as they're evaluating, as they're comparing and contrasting. I pray you'd help them. It is a difficult thing. To think through where to put your family, where to attend the place of worship. And so help them. And I pray that you would use our service now to honor you. We pray it all in Christ's precious name. And amen. Amen. Finding rest in a stressful world. I'm going to do a little survey here. Anybody here got any stress? Let me start over here. Anybody got any stress? Anybody sitting near some stress over here? Martin's going, I don't know Samantha, but she looks pretty stressful. And Joy raised her hand twice. All right, I got it. Anybody in the middle got any stress? Y'all newlyweds, you better not be pointing at each other, Jesse. Got any stress back there? Yeah, got some stress, and stress got a name sometimes and all. So anybody here? Yeah, all right. What about over here? Man, that's almost 100%. And Jerry didn't raise his hand because he's smarter than the rest of us. So we're here, and so we talk about that. If I say what's going to cause you stress, I'll just have to go sit down, right? Because some of you who are not extroverted, you become extroverted right now going, just let me tell you what kind of day I've had. Anybody in here got people in your life like I do? You're scared to ask them how they are? Because they might tell you. My mom the other day on the phone, I have to be careful. She discovered social media and she watches these things now. But I called my mom the other day. She said, did I tell you about this? And I went, you did. She said, well, let me tell you again. And I went, how do you do that with mom anyway? So I put her on speaker and walked around the house and came back. She was about done. And I didn't do that. I'm just saying that for her benefit here. I came across a survey, a scientifically done survey a few months ago. And they didn't survey people my age, 48 and older. They didn't survey folks that were retired. They surveyed people in their 20s and early 30s. They surveyed what we call the millennials, not the next gen. They've actually, these young people here are called the iGen or next gen or no named. But they surveyed the 20-something year old. So like our crew in the back here, I'll click so they'll, yeah. And so they've got me recording and all. So they surveyed them and they came up with the 20 things that really, really promoted stress. And we like to kick millennials. And there's all the pejoratives, snowflakes, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought some of them were funny. So if you're here today, I'm not making light of the fact that your phone being almost out of charge is a major source of stress. Although you did say it was a major source of stress. 1 in 5 surveyed. This was about 3,000 folks. One poll surveyed. This was a professional poll. This is not one of these click things that you could just do. 1 in 5 said that getting 0 likes on a social media post is more stress-inducing than arguing with your spouse. I don't know who they're married to, but anyway. 1/3 feel that having their cell phone die is more miserable than having their credit card stolen. I've had all those happen. I'll take a cell phone dying any day of the week. And if the phone got lower than 23%, that produced a fair amount of stress. They chose waiting in traffic, gridlock, over having slow Wi-Fi. 30% more chose slow Wi-Fi. Some of you like coming to church because we have fast Wi-Fi. And they're there. They don't deal well with stress. This kind of stress affected their sleeping. They estimate that they had trouble falling asleep almost 3 nights a week or 138 nights a year. So here you go. The top 20 most stressful scenarios reported by folks in their 20s and early 30s. Number 1, losing their wallet. Now, that's pretty stressful. Everybody with me? Now, in my mind, making the mortgage payment is more stressful than losing the wallet. But anyway, so I'm there. Number 2 is arguing with their partner. Number 3 is traffic delays. Number 4 is losing their phone. If you lose your phone, that's way, way up there. Now, at my age, I'd pay money to lose my phone because it just always brings trouble, unless you're calling. But otherwise, it's bad. Number 5 is arriving late to work. I don't know why that's stressful. It seems like there's a problem that can be solved. But anyway, number 6 is slow Wi-Fi. Number 7 is a phone battery dying. Number 8 is forgetting a password. I don't know why that's a stressful thing because everybody uses the same one, right? Password 1, ABC, 1234. Yeah. Some of you are going, that's my password. How'd you know that? Number 10, forgetting the phone charger. Number 11, losing keys. Number 12 is paying bills. Now again, at 48, paying bills is 1 or 2. Amen? Man, I'd be glad to lose some of this other stuff. And if I have my phone's dead, I just charge it. Is anybody here tracking with me right now? Again, I got a car charger. I got a charger. I got a battery. Number 13 is job interviews. I want to be real snarky here. I want to be real snarky, but I'm not going to be. But if you're late for work, I reckon you'd have a lot of job interviews. But anyway, God bless us. Number 14 is a phone breaking, credit card bills, check engine light coming on. Now, out of all these problems that are stress-inducing, when that light starts flashing at me, I get lots of stress. I don't care what it is if I left a gas cap off. But anyway, then the last few here, and again, some of you are smiling, some of you are not, job security. Again, I think that has to do with the fact that you value Wi-Fi over arriving on time to work, but that's just me. And then choosing what to wear. And then the 20th most stress-inducing scenario by people in their 20s is washing dishes. How many of you are going, that would have never made it? Never made it to the top list. Anybody? Some of you are like, yeah, I'm not going to do it because we eat fast food all the time. There ain't no dishes at our house. And take out some of you are laughing and all, some of you are not. But then we're there. When I think about stress, the truth of the matter is only a few of those things really, truly popped at me. But again, I'm not young, and I don't remember what caused me stress. I suppose when I was young, I thought I wouldn't get married. I thought I wouldn't have kids. And I got married and had kids, and I figured out that brought more stress. Somebody say amen. And we've been married 23 years. I like the old joke. Guy was at his anniversary party, and they said, how long you been married? He said, we've been married 38 good years. He said, you've been married 38 years? He said, no, I've been married 52, but 38 of them were okay. And when you got stress. The old rapper, more money, more problems. We cater to everybody here. So what is it? What is it about life that does that? Why is Jesus saying these words so radical and revolutionary? I suggest to you, Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people not unlike yourselves, not unlike me. I suggest to you that it's a major crisis in our world. People go to the hospital with heart issues, heart problems, with regularity, and they tell them it's stress. There is an unending stream of emails, advertisements, full pages in the newspapers, periodicals that are mailed out without your subscription telling you how to de-stress your life. Everything from the right shoes to the right attire to a whole genre of products now that you can download to your mobile device that'll help you feel better in a calming, soothing voice. Who'd ever thought after the hard work of grandparents and parents on farms or in factories that any generation would have as one of their number one problems, I can't seem to go to sleep. The last generation didn't have that problem as much because they were so tired they fell asleep in the chair before they got to bed and somebody woke them up. But we have all kinds and sorts of stress in our lives. Psychologists tell us that there are basically 5 C's of stress. I offer them to you as introduction. They say the first one is change. Somebody says, old people don't like change. I suggest to you, nobody likes change unless it's their idea. Nobody likes it unless it's their idea. But your idea, it's a great idea, right? Amen? But if somebody else is, who do they think they are? I don't want to do this. Say, that doesn't cause stress. You try and change where you have Thanksgiving this year. God bless you. Amen? Change. Somebody said, Pastor, why didn't you and Andrea drive 20 years? Never at home on Christmas because nobody would change. And Pastor didn't have a backbone, so I drove all the time, 5-6 hours every year at Christmas. We loaded up everything, threw it in the car, made our children cry. They couldn't play with their toys because nobody would change. Nobody would change. But I told them, this year I'm not driving. Y'all can come see me. And they said, enjoy your Christmas. And change. They didn't say that. They didn't say that. Change. We don't like change. Conflict. Conflict. I know people I think like to push each other's buttons. Anybody know anybody like that? If there's not a fight, they'll just start one. You know? They just do that. I can watch their wheels turning. Now, I'm old enough. Now, I can just kind of watch it in people. He's about to irritate his wife. He's been silent long enough. It's on now. It's on now. You know, that single lady who's never gotten married, but she's always the third wheel in the crowd, she's about to provoke everyone. It's been too quiet, too long at dinner. She's about to just start a fight. She's going to say something like, man, isn't that Trump something? And it's on, you know, because she just likes the conflict. Everybody going crazy, you know, or the faux compliment. Well, your makeup looks good today. Some of you are going, you've been to my house. Conflict. Conflict. If you like conflict, I think you're crazy. Now, if you're like me and you like conflict with your wife because you know kissy faces later, then I think you're smart. My wife would disagree. In a conflict, I say that tongue in cheek. Criticism. Criticism. Has there ever been more bold cowards in our world than there are right now, full of criticism? Full of criticism. Poor Alcoa football coach. Man, they go out there and they just destroyed a man's car because he's a football coach. Man, get something. Get a job. Get a life. Get your phone charged. You know, wash some dishes, do something, and leave the poor man alone. important. But criticism. I used to dread it, and you guys don't do it. I used to dread the after action report after I'd preach. People come by going, "Well, that was better," and I go, "Okie dokie." Now, you have to ask Andre. Some of you think I'm exaggerating, but you know, I used to make a joke. I'll preach better sermons when Andre writes better sermons. We've been here about 4 months. Guy walks out, grabs my wife, and says, "You need to do a better job." And that's the last time I used that little joke, because he walked up to me and he said, "I'm sorry." I went, "You have no idea how sorry I am, because I gotta go fix this with her." We never saw him again. So he wasn't impressed with Andrea's skill. But a criticism. We just don't do a withering criticism. There's the fourth one. Fourth one, concerns. How many dads we got in the room? Dads, granddads, a few of you. How many of you are too tired to raise your hand? Okay. Anybody ever been up past everybody else, staring at a pile of bills or a computer screen or going, "It's got to work somehow." I mean, the concerns of life. My wife, in the last 3 weeks, has cleaned everything in our house twice. Every time I sit down, she dusts me. She got nervous energy. She got nothing to do. She feels like, man, the concerns, man, it brings stress. It brings stress. We had a one point we were so financially savvy, we had a home that we were renting in North Carolina and a home here. First 5 days every month, I just held my breath. Please let the renters pay their bill. Please let the renters pay their bill. Otherwise, somebody's going to call me and it won't be happy. You know, and, you know, concerns of life. Everybody got concerned. There's a fifth one, that's crisis. That's crisis. That's the car accident. That's the phone call you dread. That's the walk in and somebody's got a bag packed on the bed going, "Sit down, we got to talk." Crisis. If you've got a few of these, statistically, you're in a high level of stress. There's a longer one of these this is derived from. It's 110 questions there, and they rated all the way up to the 110 level here where you need to be hospitalized. I suggest if you have four, you're in a great deal of stress. If you have all five, we'll stop the service now, come forward, and we'll pray for you. Stress. This is a universal condition. I suggest to you this morning that people today are not just weary, they're not just stressed, but they're stressed because they're trying to live life without the God of the Bible. It's important what I said and how I said it there. You still with me this morning? It's important because if you got a God of your own making, you got stress you don't even have any clue about. I'm not talking about the God you've designed. I'm not talking about the God you've arranged. I'm not talking a little God in a box or the statue that you pray to. I'm not talking about the picture on the wall. I'm not talking about the man upstairs. I'm talking about the God who has revealed himself in the Bible. And there is an unbelievable amount of weariness and distress from trying to live your life that way. Somebody looks at a teenager, an older teenager, and says, "Man, how can they be so sad and so miserable?" I can venture one thing. Maybe they're trying to live their life without the God of the Bible. I can look at a marriage and go, "Man, why can't they seem to get it together? We're trying to do it without the God of the Bible." Look at a professional. I look at someone who's retired. I used to think, man, people, as they got older, they got nicer. No, as you get older, you just become more of who you are. If you're a mean old man or a harpy old woman, then you are probably a mean young man and a mean young woman. You just become more of who you are. Jesus here is writing some people, speaking to some people who are just, man. And he looks at them. The audience is varied. There's us. There's professional religious people. And then there's his disciples. There's really the three components of the crowd. And he addresses each one of them. Your Bibles are open there. I want you to see what he says to them. I think you would nod in agreement with me that this is fairly universal condition, right? Well, it's not enough to identify a problem. And we need to give a solution to that problem. And that's what he offers to them. He says first in 28, "Come to me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a parallel. 29, take my yoke upon me, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, or humble, and you'll find rest for your soul. Verse 30, he gives the why. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you would, he addresses the two groups of people. First off, he says what every one of us needs. We need what he's calling here the rest of salvation. I think primarily this passage in all its totality is talking about what does it mean to be right with God? What does it mean to have your sins forgiven? What does it mean to be in right standing judicially before God and relationally with God? That's what he addresses. I think in all of this, I'll make an application. This is about that one particular idea. And he starts it off and he uses some different words here. He talks about the idea, talks about the idea of labor. Talks about the idea of labor. Look, if you would there, he says labor. It's the idea of someone who is fainting from weariness. Who's fainting from weariness. It suggests active toil. So much so that you have fatigued your body. Now, it's not just you worked outside all day and came in going, man, I am beat. A little food, a little shower, and I'm off to zombie land. It's actually more intensive than that. It would have been used of the forced march that the Romans were famous for, where they would take and they would conscript someone. When Jesus said, if someone comes and conscripts with you, go a mile, go with him too. And they would have taken them. This was a Roman relief law because they were just marching people to death. They would take people and then they would take and they would abuse them. And so to put down revolt, the Romans said, hey, you can only make somebody go this far with you. And the Jews would take and they would put up stakes in all directions from their houses, marking off a mile. And so when they hit that mile, they would throw down whatever the Roman soldier had made them carry, the Roman procurator or whatever, and they would throw that down and say, I am done with this. This is the idea that you are so tired, your bones ache, you are so tired, your muscles are cramped, you are so tired that your tongue is all swollen. He says, to those of you who find yourself here, to those of you who find yourself this way in your sinfulness, he's using a physical world word to describe a spiritual malady. He says, labor, he says, heavy laden. He says, heavy laden. My kids don't like me telling this story, but they're not up here. My kids used to play grind daddy in the ground. Ride me on my back. Anybody ever do that with your dad or stepdad or pawpaw or uncle or total stranger? Anybody ever do that? Okay. When it was just Allison, it wasn't a big deal. She'd ride, and I'd act like I was going down, and then I'd throw her off. Whee! Blam! Andre's like, you're going to break her. I'm like, she's tough. She'd ride. She'd get a little taller, a little bigger, and then Riley came along, and then they're both on me. Riley's a baby. He has no control. He's boom. You know, he's off, and he gets bigger. And then they start jumping on me. You know, there's a reason I go to the chiropractor occasionally. You know, so they both of them. I'd just be unsuspecting. Unsuspecting. All of a sudden, you know, they're on me, and I'm down, you know, and they're getting bigger. And, man, it's getting a little more effort to get them off me. And then they get really big. And the last time we did this is the last time it took everything I had to get them off of me. We're going to get daddy on the ground. We're going to get daddy on the ground. We're going to get a daddy on the ground. I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. I just broke something. No, you're not. And, you know, and then I'm throwing them off. And then they're kamikaze, you know, and I throw one. And, you know, it must have been Alice. I threw her. She crashes into the couch. And Riley's like, throw me, throw me. And, you know, I throw him. And Andre's like, you're going to break the children. And I'm like, they like it. And she's like, you're going to break the children. I'm like, they broke me. Turnabout is fair play. And, you know, so we're there. But at some point we stopped because I couldn't get them off of me anymore, right? They were going to win. They're going to ground daddy in the ground. And we were there. We even have that expression in English, don't we? I just feel like I can't lift my head. I feel like I can't get out of my chair. I'm so overwhelmed, I don't think I can get out of bed. I feel like I'm about to be crushed. Remember what I said? He's using physical words to describe spiritual problems. There's no rest for those in their sins if you stay the way you are. There is no better. There's no amount of booze. There's no amount of pills. There's not enough needles. There's not enough stuff in the world to help you who are heavy laden with the guilt and the burden of your sinfulness. We're not designed that way. It is meant to cripple us. It is meant to break us. And Jesus is speaking to people who have their chins on the ground because they feel so guilty. He says, I'm talking to you. Now, let me help you here. I'm as thrilled as I can be at this point in the passage. Because that used to be me. It used to be me. I felt so bad. And no matter what I did, I could never seem to escape my guilt. For years, most miserable people in the United States of America sit on church pews every Sunday morning because they continue in their guilt and they won't accept what God offers for them for rest. And they keep trying to please Him. And all the man-made stuff and all the good works will never, ever get rid of the crushing burden of your guilt. He says, heavy laden. He says, labor. I encourage you that the condition here, we even have a word for it. We call it burnout. We call it overwhelm. Notice what he says. There's the last one. And I want to point out to you. And again, I'm just about done. You're still with me. So good. Thank you. Verse 28. I will give you rest. Verse 29. I am meek and lowly in heart. Verse 30. My yoke, my burden. Only Jesus can give you rest for your souls. Only God can give you what you need. Some of you in here right now, and you're like, man, I'm so miserable, and there's not enough music, there's not enough videos, there's not enough stuff, there's not enough buying, there's not enough binging, there's not enough new iPhone, there's not enough travel, there is not enough, and there never will be. It's from and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His claim. He is the Savior of the world. There is the invitation that is there. Someone said, man, when I came to Christ, it was like, it was like the world was lifted off my shoulders. There's the invitation, I think, to all Christians. There's an application that's here. That's the rest from stress. We call them burdens for a reason. They weigh us down. We call them trouble because that's what they are. They come invited and uninvited. They come sometimes a result of our sinfulness. Sometimes just because we're walking upright. As long as we live in a fallen world, there's going to be trouble, stress, and burdens. There is a day coming when He, that is the Lord Jesus, will wipe away all the tears from our eyes, and all the former things will be passed away, and there'll be no more sin, and there'll be no more suffering. Every now and then somebody says, Pastor, why? Doesn't it bother you? You're real sick. And I'm like, hey man, it wasn't on the agenda. I'm 26 days in. It wasn't on the agenda. I keep making everybody cry. Man, everybody talk to me. You don't understand? No. Tykert called me the other day. Reached out to me yesterday, Friday. The head of Edwards Air Force Base. Somehow is my friend. It's a long story. We're texting. He says something. I say something. He goes, what? I went, oh, I thought you knew. He went, know what? Yeah. Sick. He's like, you got to be kidding me. So the guy who's, you know, going to attack the Russians is sitting there. You know, I'm like, man, you need to get back to your job. And, you know, and I can't believe it. I'm like, I couldn't either. I was there. It ain't about, man, you. Look at right here. You are not going to scare me with heaven. Then let me help you. I'm not interested in going today. For you, and if you amen that. And my biggest problem was taken care of years ago. That was my sinfulness. So somebody catch that for a second. God died on the cross for my sins. That's atonement accomplished. Atonement applied. Forgiveness applied. Happened to me as a young man. And God saved me from my sins. And every day since then has been a blessing. Say, is that really how you feel? Yeah, well, I'm not scared to death. It's how I feel. Amen. Then I go back to the stress here. Some of you go, man, I feel so sorry for you. Let me, time out. Time out. I'm not, this ain't about rotten. If you're here today without Christ, you've never asked Him to forgive you your sins, be your Lord and Savior, you're in much worse shape than I am. tragedy of life is not dying young, is not being sick at a young or younger age. I'm not young. Younger age, tragedy of life, going through life and never know what it means to come to Jesus, take away the burden and penalty of your sin. That is the tragedy of life. You can have rest from your stress. I think there's two kinds here. You still, I got 4 minutes. See, if you're living in disobedient to the Lord, you're just bringing the stress on. You're just bringing the stress on. I'll show God I'll get out of church. Yeah, you'll show Him. I'll show God I'll quit reading my Bible. Yeah, you'll show Him. I'll do what I want and not have any consequences. You're just as crazy as you can be. You're in a yoke with somebody, something. You just got to choose which one you're in. Some of those miserable people on God's earth not only sit here lost in services like this all over the country, but sit there going, you know, I used to be, I used to do, I used to care. I want to shake some people. I've been in their houses since I've been here. I stood on the doorstep, listened to them, grab the dog and say, be quiet, the preacher will hear you. Once you come back, once you get right with God, you don't have to keep living like you're living. I'm not mad at you, but you keep doing it. You keep drinking the poison. You keep going down this road. It does not end well for you, and you may well go to heaven, but I got news for you. I got news for you. In your bitterness and in your rebellion, you're going to breed disbelief in your kids' lives. Why would you do that? You're disobedient to the Lord. And you're not following His lordship. He offers, and I conclude, an exchange. He says, exchange yoke for yoke. This is one of those words we don't use very often. Most of us, if we grew up on a farm, it was tractors. Might have been a small plow pulled by a horse or a mule, depending on our age, depending upon our location growing up. But a yoke is a strange thing. You'll see them occasionally. Agricultural shows, maybe someone has one in their barn, but they're heavy. At this time, it could have been wood. It could have been a mixture of wood and of some type of iron or brass, but it was really heavy. And it's basic physics. It's a leverage. Something really incredibly heavy placed upon the back of a beast will provide the strength and the leverage to pull something even heavier over difficult terrain. It was a sign of ownership. It was a sign that there was a master. And the thought of taking a yoke was a sign that I submit to whoever's putting it on me. This was not a friendly word to the Jewish audience. They talked about casting off the yoke of Rome. This is so crazily heavy. He's not asking you to take on another yoke. He's asking you to get in a different one. See, I believe Jesus died and rose again for everybody. That's salvation accomplished. I'm talking about salvation applied. Has there ever been a point in a time in your life where you said, God, I know I'm a sinner, and if I die the way I am, I deserve what's coming to me. But I want to be part of your family. I'm sorry for my sins, and I want you to be my Savior. I believe that you are who you say you are, and I am willing to step into that relationship with you. Say, preacher, how does this make any sense at all? You go from one burden to another burden. Let me help you. It's not a yoke just built for you. It's a yoke built for two. It's you and the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the one who has all power and all might and all authority, and He is the one who's going to carry the load. Let me help you. He's the one who's already finished the work. What He set out to do. And you and Jesus can handle anything. And so it's a yoke built. Every now and then I'm going, man alive, what in the world? I remember I'm not supposed to be the one pulling this thing. He's the one who's got all strength. He's the one who's got all of it. He's the one who's done that. But I can guarantee you one thing. If you stay in the yoke that you're in, if you stay in the burden that you're in, carrying all your sin, it'll grind you right into. Now, sin never is done with you when you're done with it. Sin is never finished with you when you are finished with it. to be more burdened and more burdened and more burdened. And God said, why won't you just let that go? Come over here and get in the yoke with me. There's yoke for yoke. There's burden for burden. Almost with unanimity, you said, I got stress, I got problems, I got burdens.
I have at least two shelves of books on the subject.
Digitally, I have probably 15 more, maybe 30, depending on how you want to classify them. I have several shelves of theology, what we call a compilation books. Christ became sin for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I have turned that jewel around, give or take 30 years. I still don't get it. I can explain it, but I still don't get it. The perfect one, the sinless one, born of a virgin, never sinned, died for sins he did not commit, took my hell, my punishment, in my place. No works that I can do can ever make me right in his eyes. It is only the finished work of Christ, and he did that for me that he did not have to do, and I deserve everything that was coming to me, but everything that was coming to me, he took in my place, and he paid the for my sins. I can say it, I can explain it, but I understand it, but I want to tell you, this preacher this morning is glad. Truth that the burden be changed, and you can give your burdens to him this morning. If you're a believer, you can lay them right out. He can handle it. I've loved to teach students all these years. There's nothing easy and there's nothing hard for God. They're the same to him because he has all power. What's a big deal to you, understand me, is not a big deal to him. He can handle it. He can handle it. Yoke for yoke, burden for burden. If you're still with me, one more time, say amen. And then your priorities for his lordship. That's what he's saying. Take my yoke upon me, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. We would say it like this in 2019, he's the perfect gentleman. Voluntarily submit to him. He looks for willing worshipers. Say, is that going to always be true? No. Revelation 2, 3, and 4, there is a time coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. You just get the opportunity to do it now while you have the opportunity, while you have the time to come and say, I'm a sinner and I'm awful and I'm wretched and I deserve everything that's coming to me. But until then, look right at me for a second, until then, you have the opportunity. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm sorry, verse 29. You will find rest for your souls. Every so often they tell me, one of the commissioners will share with me the new numbers. Give or take any weekday, 18,000 to 22,000 cars a day will go by the place. Any given weekday when school is in session. Those of us who live around here know that's probably a low number sometimes. They're putting in some more houses. Which direction? Over there. And I thought, as long as they all drive mopeds, I don't care. And man, when you talk about rest and easy, I chuckle. Somebody says, how is all this going to help the congestion around here? And I want to go, it's not. I don't know why everyone keeps asking this question like there's going to be a better answer. We got the roads we got. We got more cars. We got more people. We got more teenagers. We got more people mad about the more cars and the more people. And they're driving. And the city said, hey, we'll post all these signs. Say, stay right. And somebody took out about three of them. That's what they thought of them. And, it doesn't work like that. You just don't do that. I had a guy tell me one time I was eating a donut. He says, I just don't know why I can't lose weight. I went, I don't know either. It's a mystery. And a guy called me a few months ago, pretty drunk. And he called me and said, Pastor, I'm so miserable. I said, you've been drinking? He said, yeah. I said, why do you think you're miserable? I don't know. I said, let's talk about your drinking. He said, my drinking's not a problem. I said, okay. And he got confused and hung up. And we're silly people thinking we keep doing what we're doing and get a different result. Change your priorities for the Lordship of Christ. His burden is light. The burden of sin is heavy. And it will crush the life out of you. Burden brings despair. The burden of Christ brings hope, joy, and life. Come to me, all that labor, exhausted from how you're living. Heavy laden, about to be sandwiched by the guilt of your sin. And I, that's Christ, will give you rest. You can only find rest in Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed.